Grace and peace, friends in Christ, to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In last week's gospel reading, Jesus told a parable about a farmer whose crops outperformed all expectations. I mean, this is what everyone who produces anything from crops to widgets hopes for. This is the new invention on Shark Tank that gets picked up by the hottest investor who pumps a bunch of money into your design and into that little gadget that you created in your basement, and now that gadget is in the home of every human being on the planet. This is what we dream about. Aside from winning the lottery, it's the path to riches and luxury that no one can resist. In the parable, the farmer's lands produce more grain than his barns can possibly hold. And so he resolves to build more and bigger barns. And there he stores his grain, an investment account to provide security and comfort all the length of his days. And then he leans back in his easy chair, and he throws his head back and he says, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Ah, the good life. So today, in today's gospel reading, Jesus doubles down on the theme, "Be not afraid, little ones, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the good life, to allow you such security and rest in the wake of your hard labor. Look at the things we have. Our beautiful church, family and friends with which to gather on this warm summer Sunday. Donuts and coffee waiting for us, looking forward to it. Food in our cupboards and refrigerators, or money in our pockets to buy lunch at any of the wonderful restaurants around town. We have homes, we have fields, we have barns that we've built bigger and bigger to store all of the blessings that we have been given. And we have Jesus, who reminds us that we do not need to be afraid, because it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Of course, there are lots of reasons to be afraid. Despite Jesus' admonishment, there are definitely things in this world that are evil, which we need to remedy. Things like terrorism, violence in our streets, crime against innocent people, and immorality, and the complacency of those who would abuse the generosity of good people without at least trying to better themselves. These, along with sickness and death, these are the things that we sometimes can't control. And when we experience the horrors of pain, that's when we need to gather our prayers and trust that God will take care of us. But Jesus also expects us to use our heads, be smart, and to stand on our own two feet when we need to. Jesus came to give us the things we need, but Jesus can't do the hard work for us. After all, doesn't the Bible say, "God helps those who help themselves"? Except that's not what the Bible says. Does this sound like a message that you're used to hearing? Or is this the gospel that we wish we would hear? It's certainly faithful to the text. Jesus does tell a parable about a man whose land produces abundantly. And Jesus does comfort his disciples by saying, "Have no fear. God is truly willing to give you everything you need." How easy it is, though, for us to position ourselves as the ones who are blessed, but forget that from the very beginning, God has said that we are blessed to be a blessing. And that Jesus also says, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. You've heard perhaps the term prosperity gospel. It's a label used to describe the message that some preachers deliver, a message that says that financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God, and that faith, along with a positive attitude, will increase one's material wealth. And of course, donations to certain religious causes or the pastor's fund for a private new jet can often help the process along. Prosperity gospel views the Bible as a contract between God and humans. If humans have faith in God, God will deliver security and prosperity. But the truth is that this kind of gospel is not the message of the Bible, and certainly not the will of a gracious and loving God. And even though polls by George Barna show that 75% of Americans agree that the concept of God helps those who help themselves is an accurate summation of Christian teachings, that phrase is not to be found in the Bible. The trouble is, we like this message of God who has blessed us. It's a true statement. God has given us everything we need. Our lives, our food, our homes, our church, our family and friends. And Jesus is right. It is God's good pleasure to give us these things. There's nothing wrong with blessings, but we cannot forget that blessings come to us when we deserve them and when we don't also. And blessings come to others, deserving or not. Blessings come to people we disagree with. Blessings come to people we don't like and people who are our enemies, deserving or not. I really wish I could preach prosperity gospel sermons. They're easier. They don't make me think about the issues in our world which cause people pain. I wish that the church of today could talk about God's grace without confronting past issues of abuse that it has committed and its complacency in the ongoing sins of empire building and corporate greed. I wish we could just skip those words of confession. We confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. I wish we could dive right into praise and worship songs like some churches do. Skip that confession business altogether. But Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I believe that in the deepest part of my being, that the treasure of God's love for us is that every last person on this earth is precious to God. And if that person is precious to God, then they must be precious to us too. It's hard to listen when a neighbor or a friend or a pastor raises issues that may be controversial. But what seems controversial to us may be personal to them. That friend might themselves feel the sting of racism. That friend might themselves have a neighbor who is a gay man or a family friend who is unwelcome to sit next to them in church on Sunday morning. We may be blessed, but what about those who aren't? When Jesus says, be dressed for action and have your lamps lit, be like those who are waiting for their master to return. I believe that Jesus isn't comforting us behind the blessings that he's given us. He's calling us to stand up in the power of our blessings for those whose blessings have been denied or taken away, for those victimized by the false power of law and order, for those who are the most vulnerable of this little flock, who he hopes does not have to be afraid. Dear ones, whom I have come to know as friends, there is no doubt. God loves you and will never let you go. The joy of your faith reaches into the rafters of this beautiful building and beyond, and this family of faith is here to pray for you in your sorrow, in your sickness, and in your grief. This should be a place where we come and where we come when every other resource of help has come up short. A place where you hear the gospel of truth about Jesus who lived and died that you may have a life in all of its abundance. So this also needs to be a place where we talk about what we will do with our blessings. We'll start with prayer. Everyone can do that. And if that's all that you can do, then we will celebrate that. But we'll also find ways to reach out, to share our blessings, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and embrace the deep pains of those around us. But it's Sunday morning, and it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So let us, for now, here in this place, today on this beautiful Sunday, let us dwell deeply in that grace. Let us rejoice in the baptism of God's salvation. Let us eat and drink of Christ. And may the merriment of our praise be a balm to our sorrow and grief. God has given us these blessings and so much more. There will be time to talk of responsibility and expectations. For now, unexpected though it may be, the Son of Man has come gloriously. Let us feast. Amen.